You're listening to The Tastemasters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. All right, guys, special guest with us today. We have the assistant brewer of Strap Tank Brewery, the Springville location. Let's not get confused with Lehigh and Springville, Miss Julia. Julia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. It's the first time we've had a female brewer on the show.
Is it really?
What?
Yeah, I think.
Sexist.
I think so.
Whoa.
First time this year, for sure. But Julia, welcome. I'm super excited to drink some beers, and you brought some of your beers for us.
Yes, I did.
What did you bring for us today?
So I brought my PB Rider, which is the peanut butter milk stout.
Oh, God. Mm.
Yes, delicious. Mm. Mild and free, which is an English mild, traditional English mild, nice and malty.
Maybe my favorite style. It really might be.
It's one of my favorites. It's so underrated. It really is.
Than the ESB. Really is. Yeah. The ESB is one of my most underrated favorite.
ESB is also underrated.
Aren't there like three different types of milds? What are they?
There's like a dark mild and then just the traditional like English mild.
Right. It's maybe it's bitters that I'm thinking of, that there are three types.
Cause there's bitters and then extra special bitters. Like considered golden ales are considered like bitters.
Yeah.
And then you have the bitter, then the extra special bitter, like
The ordinary bitter. The ordinary bitter in the English mild might be my two favorite.
Yeah. They're very English style beers, you know, just traditional, you know, good ales.
Usually like low ABV, which is my jam, and just like flavorful.
Yeah. Malt heavy though.
Mm. Yes,
which I like.
Malt heavy. I love malt heavy.
I think us three are all malt heads.
Just be tickled.
And the other two beers you brought for us, Julia.
And then I have Motormaid, which is my newest beer. It is a Saison brewed with pink peppercorns.
Ooh, yeah.
And then Cosmic Fog.
You're just saying and Cosmic Fog.
And then, you know, just Cosmic Fog.
Cosmic Fog is,
casual.
For Wyatt and I know this, and you know this too, Julia, but is probably the most asked about beer in the history of Strap Tank. I think so.
Yeah.
Especially, specifically the Lehigh location, because that's where, like, I think Lehigh opened up, Cosmic Fog came out not too far after that, and all of a sudden this purple glittery beer. Everyone's like, what the fuck is that? I need to have it. You pour one of these beers, and every single person asks for one. Like, it's like a margarita. Margarita? Like, that's why I hate making margaritas, is because you get margarita. I want a fucking margarita. I want a fucking margarita.
That's how they market margaritas. They just sell one. And then everyone wants one.
They just say the name. Like, I feel like I need to meet, like, right now, I could go for a margarita.
Right now, I'm craving
for a margarita.
I'm at the bar and I'm busy. Because, like, margaritas are a pain in the ass, like, when you're bartending sometimes. When someone's like, oh, yeah, can you hand make me a margarita? I'm like, fuck. So it's like someone at the bar is like, can I have a margarita? I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Basically.
Shh. I'll get you a margarita, but don't say
but
shit.
Don't say it out loud. It's like the Cosmic Fog.
Yeah.
Can I have a Cosmic? Shh.
Can I have a Cosmic?
Shut the Cosmic Fog. But the cool thing about the Cosmic Fog is, you know, it's got that glitter and it's just fun to play with. I like my Cosmic Fog. It's the first beer I have I order with a straw.
Oh,
just like sit there
just
and like,
sit there and twirl it, right?
Yeah. I play with my beer. It's the first beer I play with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun beer.
You brought us the mild and free, and Wyatt will not open it right now.
So, I already opened it.
It's already open.
I have two questions for you, Julia.
Yeah.
One, how should I pour this? Should I like pour it gently and try to preserve the carbonation, or just like hard and fast, make it a little bit flat? What are you thinking?
See, I don't mind the mild flat.
Yeah,
They should be like lower carbonation anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of my beers, I do like kind of like overcarbonated. I am definitely a carbonation girl. But like as far as like maltier beers and especially the mild, I don't mind it super flat. So
hard and fast it is.
Yeah, hard and fast.
Cool.
So Julia, you made this one, correct me if I'm wrong, around Thanksgiving time.
Yes.
Because you thought this would pair well with the Thanksgiving meal.
Yes.
And I think you did a great job with it, obviously. I've tasted this a couple thousands of times. And it's still really good. Beautiful color. But tell us, what gave you the idea to brew the mild?
Well, that one might have a crack in the glass or something.
Oh, yep, it does have a crack.
You got to slam it real fast, David.
Damn it. But what was the idea for the mild and free?
So, like I said, milds are probably one of my favorite styles. I think they're very underrated. I don't think they get the credit they deserve. So I fell in love with brewing in England. I lived there.
Did you really? When was that?
Yeah. When I was 16, I moved there.
No way.
Yep.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
This is the first time hearing about this. Why did you know this?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Wyatt knows everything about me.
I really do.
All right. So you lived in England.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where I like really fell in love with beer and the brewing.
At 16?
Yeah. I mean, drinking laws are very different over there. So.
It's not Utah. That yeah, blows my mind.
Yep. And it is, it's so a part of like their culture and their day-to-day life. Like every day after work, go to the pub, grab a pint with, you know, your friends or whoever's there.
Right.
And that fascinated me just because like I had, you know, I've traveled my whole life and lived everywhere, but I've never seen it quite like that. Like it was such a difference to, especially here in Utah, I don't know. It just piqued my interest. How like this drink could just bring all these people together and like
camaraderie almost.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And so, and yeah, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with British style beers. Like I said, maltier beers are my jam.
Malty
and
sexy.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And then so, when it starts getting cold, I'm like, oh, I need like a mild, nice malty beer.
So. And I think you released this perfect timing.
Yeah. With Thanksgiving, it's perfect with turkey and like stuffing and potatoes. Oh, it's so good.
A great Christmas beer.
The best too. Pairing with Christmas or Thanksgiving meal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're in January right now. Like, I just want to smash this every day.
It's easy. Yeah. It's great. It's not offensive. And it's this kind of style where people are like, oh, I hate hops. Hops are gross. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I didn't say anything about hops. Here's a mild. It's easy.
Yeah.
You're right.
And I think a lot of it, like, people get scared with the color too. Because a lot of our customers that are like, I think like flathead drinkers would love this.
Oh,
but they're
sure.
Like, ooh, that color.
Because I don't like dark beers.
Why do dark beers have that connotation of scaring people?
That's a good question.
Is it because they immediately think Guinness and they think smoky, you know, smoky
dark,
chocolate?
Heavy.
Well, I think they're just afraid to branch out from where they are, you know? Like, I think a lot of people instinctually kind of move away from change. Like, change is scary. And so, like, they're used to flathead. They know that it's good.
Yeah.
And so, why change it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
But, like, could be better.
But,
like,
yeah. Could be a lot better.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Be drinking a mild.
Could be drinking a fucking mild. I just want to rotate between like this, a brown, and a stout. It's just all I ever want to drink, really.
So milds, we talked about kind of milds and ESBs. They're kind of falling under the party guile style, right? Like where you can have three runnings and make a different beer from each running, correct? Is that from the bitters or from the mild?
I think you guys remember?
So the same, you know, the party guile?
Yeah.
So Derek was telling me about how you guys could... You know, the first runnings you can make a beer out of, and the second runnings you make a lower beer, and the third is that table style beer, you know, like that 3.2 kind of thing,
even
lower. So I feel like
the near beer kind of stuff.
Yeah, and
it's like the best.
But it's like for me, it's the reason why this is one of the better styles and underrated. Like Julia said, is you can have three different runnings, three different beers for three different occasions. They can have the higher alcohol ABV if you want.
Yeah,
you can have
like
the kind of sessionable beer, or you can have one that's like low ABV and kind of like, I just want the beer without the ABV.
Without the ABV,
that's what I
want
all the
totally,
time.
Milds are normally very much lower in ABV. Yeah.
They're very mild.
Yeah,
both flavor and ABV.
That's what when people do it, when they ask me what, like, they're like, oh, what is a mild? Like, what's it like? I'm like, it's just mild.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, just easy to drink. Like,
yeah, crushable.
Yeah. It is crushable. You can have like three or four of these and still not be schmanny.
Yeah.
These are meant to be drank like by the tankard.
By the keg.
Yeah.
By the keg. So, Julia.
And you can because it's just not super high alcohol content.
But, Julia, tell us about who's Julia? Where are you from? What do you do?
Oh,
why?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was my second question from a while ago.
I don't know. I'm like having a crisis over here now. I'm
Julia?
Like, wait, who am I?
Who am I?
Who is Julia?
It's 2021. It's a different year. We don't have to think about 2020. It's fine. But who are you? Where are you from?
2021 was like, to 2020 was like, here, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Check this out.
Right.
You thought that was cool. Check this
out. Oh, God. I'm so excited.
No. So I was born in Princeton, New Jersey.
Oh, neat.
Neat. That's neat.
That's neat.
It's really cool.
Yeah, the best part of New Jersey, you know.
I've only been to one part
as opposed to the other parts of New Jersey.
The ghetto ass parts of New Jersey.
The only good part of New Jersey, Princeton.
Are there really that many parts to New Jersey? Isn't it pretty small?
It's small, but I mean, there's lots going on there, you know. You got, you know.
Other stuff?
Other stuff.
Is like Rhode Island the only state that's smaller than New Jersey, right? I could be wrong. My geography could be pretty fucked up.
I think it's probably like the only one.
Talk about
that's
beer.
Smaller. Yeah.
I know about beer. I don't know shit about Jersey.
Well, I was born in the same hospital that Albert Einstein died in.
So that's significant.
Like, yeah.
So he died and you came into the world?
Yeah. Same day.
Did his genius transfer to you?
I was like, oh, damn, you're old, Julia.
Holy shit, you're old. No. And then, yeah, we traveled a lot when I was younger for my dad's job. But Utah kind of was always just home base. My dad is originally from here.
Oh, cool.
And then my mom's from Texas.
That's right. We did talk about this.
Yes, yeah. So my grandpa immigrated from Scotland and moved to Texas. So he was literally the world's most stubborn man, a Scottish man who grew up in Texas.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah. but yeah, so Utah was always just kind of home base. And when we moved back from London, it just was where, you know, I decided I liked it here. Yeah. I mean, there are parts that I don't love, but
I think it goes for Utah. I think, you know, a lot of cool people say, you know, Utah's really pretty. It's really cool. It's safe. It's home. But there's just some parts you just can't explain that I just don't like, right?
Yeah. There's just parts that I don't, you just don't like. But, that's when I really started homebrewing. And then Strap Tank opened up and got a job there as a server. But I knew I wanted to brew. Right. And so I just, you know, worked hard. Worked my way in.
Did you start from day one at Strap Tank?
I did.
Jeez,
I was one of the
few, huh?
Yep. I think there's only like 3-4 of us left now. So.
And that was 2016 when you started?
Yep.
And 2021, you're still here. And you are now the assistant brewer at the Springville location.
Yep.
And you basically run that entire show.
Yeah. Yes.
That's super badass.
I mean, the only brewer who's officially out of Springville.
Yep. Yeah. I am the only brewer in Springville.
So
like, cool. What's that like? What's it like to, like, you know, those are your beers, you've made them. Like, those are...
It's amazing. Like, it is like a dream come true. It's my dream job. And the fact that, like, I was able to get here so fast is also still sometimes I'm like, wait, I only started homebrewing, like, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm a brewer now. Like,
right.
That's amazing.
And a female brewer. And I think when you think of a brewer... Typically, you think of a male brewer. So what's it like to be a female brewer in the male brewing kind of, you know, it's kind of dominated by male brewers?
It can be challenging sometimes. I feel like I'm pretty lucky being in Utah. Most of our male brewers are pretty cool. They're, you know, they're good about things and not, you know, men.
Right.
But it gets kind of hard. I remember when I first took over Strap Tank before we hired our second brewer. And some of our regulars found out that I was brewing and they all of a sudden were like, oh, this beer is shit. It's not good anymore. And I was like, well, that's still the batch from the first brewer, not mine.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And like, they kind of did have this attitude like, oh, like a girl's brewing my beer now. Like, I don't know. Especially being like in Utah County, they were kind of like the older, like, you know, Utah County boys.
Mm.
And
I don't like
you know
that.
what's really interesting about that is like if you look like back in the annals of beer history, like
brewing was a woman's job.
Brewing was the woman's job.
Yeah.
It was like the woman
until
of the house.
After I think World War I that men took over brewing.
After Prohibition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was
before that it was
women.
It was the woman's job. Yeah, that was one of their things. Is like they were the badass brewers making all the good beer.
Makes sense to me. It just makes sense.
For
me, it's like especially being behind the scenes, is I don't care. I see a brewer as a brewer, but I don't default to like, you know, male or female. Like for example, if I see a football player, like NFL football player, I default to male.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's kind of what happens. But now being behind the scenes in the brewing, it's like, okay, who brews this? And it doesn't matter who you are, you know, white, yellow, black, brown, male, female, trans, doesn't matter. Like, oh, cool. Can I pick your brain? Like, that's my first thing. Yeah. Is like, I want to know, like, why.
What? Yeah, yeah.
What makes you tick?
It's about the beer.
It's about
so much, like...
That passion. I want to know about that passion.
Yeah.
What makes you passionate about making beer? And, Julia, this mild is awesome. It's got that subtle sweetness. It's malty heavy.
Thank you.
And it's still holding to this day.
Yes.
This is a couple months old. It's doing
still
pretty well.
Good.
I would crush this all.
You know, that's one of the advantages I think to milds and bitters is they last. If you keep them Like, if you take care of them,
oh,
keep
yeah,
them cold.
Yeah. Keep
they
them
last,
cold.
They last for a really long
when
time.
When hop degradation isn't happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think browns are the same way. Browns usually last really well for a long time. Stouts, holy shit. You can have stouts for like a year and they're still fine.
I wouldn't sit on it for a year, but yeah.
Depends on the stout.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like a barrel conditioned stout, like, man, those might age well in a bottle.
Ooh, barrel age. Yeah. That's different, yeah. Curveball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, what's one of the next ones you have for us, Julia? Next beers you have that you want to try?
Oh, let's go ahead and do the Motormaid, since that one.
So this one's brand spanking new.
Yes.
What is it? Oh, yeah. It's
so this is my pink peppercorn saison.
Pink peppercorn saison.
Yes.
Okay. So is it pink?
No, sorry, I was taking a drink. No, it is not pink. I know I love colored beers, but I mean, sometimes I do like normal colored beers.
But why? Have you had this one yet?
Mm-mm.
Oh, God.
I haven't had anything from
Springville
in a while.
So this one is actually, you can get it at both locations, Lehigh and Springville. The mild, unfortunately, you can only get the Springville
location.
Do you think
hard and fast? I should be more gentle with this one. Saison, yeah.
Saison, you want to keep it nice and carbonated. But you want that.
Julia, how did you put the pink peppercorns inside of it?
That was a nice way of asking that question. So when we were brewing it, we basically put it in like a mesh bag, tea bag, if you will. And these ones we actually sent through a mill too, crushed them up to make sure that we would be able to get the flavor extracted, you know, a good flavor from them.
Mm.
And then during the boil, we put them in to the boil of the beer with the mesh sack and just let them boil in there with them.
Just boiled that.
Yeah.
Mesh sack, yeah.
Yeah, I was a little worried, Stava could tell you, during fermentation, it was real peppery. And I kept saying, it kind of tastes like chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, but when we were milling the pink peppercorns, I got a picture
nice
for you.
That's beautiful.
I'll post this one for everyone to see. But pink peppercorns, it was the coolest thing, and it smelled like... Julie and I were standing there watching Derek mill this, and all of a sudden this pepper just like lit the entire brewer. Like, oh,
did you start
shit.
Sneezing?
No, none of us sneezed actually. Not even Derek, and he was the one milling. Yeah. I guess we did have our masks on
because
we're following protocol at all times.
Good for you.
And we're steeping this, and before we steeped it, I think we took a mallet to it just to kind of soften it up, and then we steeped it. And then I remember we were fermenting it, and then Julie and I tried it, and Julie goes, no! And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, cause it was just over the top, like, just pepper. You could smell it. Like, it was
it
like...
It was very peppery.
But, I mean, why... I'm curious, because Julie and I have had this. I'm curious to know what you think about this pink peppercorn saison.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the nose is solid. It's... I was going to say real fast on that same topic is I've noticed a lot of brewers, obviously I'm not a brewer. I'm just a guy who drinks beer sometimes. But I've noticed a lot of brewers when they make like flavored beers, I specifically notice it with chilies. A lot of brewers add chilies to their beer. They're like, oh man, it was way too chili heavy while it was in the fermenter. But then when it was done, it was like, this is pretty good. Like it kind of mellows.
Yeah.
And I think that has to do with like, you know, aging. Like flavors always seem to kind of die down as they get older, like hops degrade. And you know, if you ever had like a spiced beer after like a month, it's like, there's no more spice in that. So I think age will definitely like always helps that down. But I've heard that story from so many brewers, right? Like how many times have we heard like, oh, we made a beer and we added this stuff to it. And I was like, oh, it's super gross in the fermenter. And then like, 3 weeks later,
common.
It's like, oh, it's actually really good.
But I mean, the French yeast, Julia, the French yeast you used in it was, it kicked ass.
No, yeah. That yeast was amazing and it turned out perfect. It turned out just how I wanted it to. There's just that like slight peppery that like complements that yeast pepperiness. So
I think a lot of pepper on the nose. Uh-huh. And then I think when you take a sip, it tastes like a saison should be, but then it finishes with almost like a pepper kind of bite, which
it's
is
so
nice.
Cool. Yeah. Like it complements those fruity esters. I really like.
No, yeah,
it
just definitely.
Like,
there's like fruitiness and spiciness, and you even have a little bit of that like farmhouse.
Like, I was
going to
say
there.
Like farmhouse horse like, blanket kind of. And,
So.
And it makes you want another sip. Like you're like, I need to know if that was real or not.
Yeah.
And
you keep like, going. Wait a second.
Then you have a whole glass. You're like, skin. Oh right, I need
makes
another
glass.
Makes
you want to eat a steak.
This would go well with a steak.
This would pair with like a ribeye, like. It was meant to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This, and you know what? I think ribeyes, like, are not always the easiest thing to pair with. Because, like, instinctively, I want to pair it with something darker.
like a wine, you know, like how wines are. Wines are always like dark meats dark, white meats white.
Like red meat, and you want to pair that with like a Cabernet or something, right? Yeah. Something that's like oaky and kind of heavy.
Right.
And like every time I have something that you would think of as similar to like a Cabernet, so I would like compare Cabernet in wine with like a stout. And like, I don't think stouts and steaks is a good combo. I'm not a fan. And like browns and steaks, still not great. And so like you could always go for like a lighter beer, but that's like an easy cop out because, you know, whatever, a Pilsner or an American lager basically pairs with everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, so like maybe a pale ale, but then that hoppiness is kind of weird. This is perfect. This Saison would be perfect with, you know, a steak, any sort of like beef stew, even chili maybe. Chili might be a stretch, but something, you know, kind of peppery red meat.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Julie, what gave you the inkling to do this? Like, what made you say, I'm doing a pink peppercorn Saison?
So we started doing firkins at Strap Tank, and I was coming up with ideas on firkins, and I mean, I've heard of pink peppercorns. I had never used them in anything, like cooking or baking or anything, and I was like, interesting. I like, what's the difference between a pink peppercorn and like a black peppercorn? And so I was like, I want to get some, try them, and then, you know, decide if I want to put them in a firkin. So it took me like all day to find them. I went to like every store in Utah County, found them at TJ Maxx.
What the hell? Wow.
Shout out to TJ Maxx.
Doesn't TJ Maxx have like the weirdest like assortment of jams? Actually,
one of the coolest bottle openers there. So they got cool shit there.
Just weird random shit. Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
TJ Maxx should definitely sponsor this podcast. Just saying.
Oh my God. Don't, my wife would like, whatever the sponsorship deal would be, she would just take it full advantage of that all the time.
I tried them and I was like, oh, you know what? This might be really well with one of my hoppier beers I have going on. And at that time I had garage rot in the fermenter. And so I put garage rot and some pink peppercorns in a firkin. And garage rot is a pale ale, a hoppier pale ale. And it turned out awesome. Like, it was so good. And I was talking to Derek about it more, doing a little bit more research, because I was like, oh, I think I want to do like a big batch of this. And I saw on there that a lot of people use it in saisons. And Derek was like, oh, I had one of my friends made a pink peppercorn saison. Like, I think it would pair really well. And so we just happened to have some saison yeast hanging out. And so I was like, all right,
hell yeah,
let's do it.
Full hell sand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it worked, and it came out real well, Jules.
I mean,
good job.
Saison should normally have like a peppercorn kind of, like, that's part of the esters to me. Yeah, like, yeah. I always look for peppercorn flavors like in a Saison.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just like that times, you know, maybe like 7.
Yeah, it just gives it a little kick.
Yeah.
Makes it more of a just prominent
extra
flavor. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
just
definitely
enough
just
that you're
enough.
Like, yeah, this definitely needs to stick with it.
You can definitely tell what it is. Like, oh, yeah. But you do, though. Like, I would steak all day.
Yeah. I'm just really hungry for steak now. Like, I wasn't hungry before I had this beer, and now I'm like, damn, I just need a steak.
So which one right now, Jules, do you prefer, the mild or the Saison?
Oh, that's really hard, because the mild is like my perfect winter beer, and it is still technically winter, but I hate winter. And so I feel like Saison is more like
hope,
springy, like it's florally, it's fruity. Like, so probably the Saison. It just came out. And so, you know,
a little bit newer to the palate, a little fresh.
Yeah, a little fresh. Yeah. Right?
I think Saison's like a March, April beer.
It is.
It's
it
like
is. Yeah, it's like a
still kind of cold.
Like spring flowers.
You're still wearing a jacket.
Like spring showers, I guess. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And like the flowers are budding. It's kind of that transition beer. It's a good, that's the time. Yeah. When, that's interesting. What, can you look up for me? You got the computer in front of you. When were Saisons traditionally drank? Because most beers had a traditional season.
It was in the winter. So it was late winter to spring.
No kidding.
Because it was used with the grains that all the farmers had left over.
Yeah.
So they would brew it and keep it cold. And that's why the farmhouse term came around, because it was in farmhouses they would do this.
Yeah. Kind of smells like
then,
a farmhouse.
Yeah.
But not in a bad way. Like,
not
it's
in a bad,
a sentimental.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like horse shit isn't bad. It isn't a bad smell, you know. And not that this smells like horse shit, but.
I was like, wait, are you comparing my beer to horse
shit? No. But like, but like farmhouses in general, like even like. Okay,
no,
like,
no. Like it has that, yeah, like that just. I don't
those
know.
Those like grass eating animals.
Yeah,
it like smells
nature-y.
Like.
No, I got you. It's like homey outside.
Yeah, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Did you fact check me though? I did. Right?
You're right. So it was by farm workers in the late summer during the harvest, and it was traditionally brewed. So basically, Saison is French for season, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's traditionally brewed in the autumn or winter because of the late harvest of the late summer.
Yes.
Nice.
So, Jules, you're spot on.
When you know your shit. Is this
sometimes I know things. Most of the time I make it up.
if you make it up and sound confident, you're fine.
Right? Doesn't matter. I'll believe it.
Yeah. How dare you?
Is this a more of a Belgian or a French style?
This is a French style. The yeast was a French style yeast, which was fascinating because I have used like the actual farmhouse, like Belgian style yeast before. And it did have farmhouse taste to it, but this definitely came out a lot more farmhousey.
Yeah, a little more funky.
Yeah, yeah. And I was a little worried. I was like, oh, is that normal kind of a thing? And yeah, Derek was like, yeah, it, you know, sometimes the French Saison just has more of that farmhousey taste to it than the actual farmhouse.
I can picture
one.
Like whenever I drink a good Saison, I can literally picture like a farm in spring. Like it just comes to my mind.
A farm in France in spring, right?
Yeah. And you're just, you know, some guys like herding geese around or something. You know,
I could see David with his hair too. Just out there like running with the wild horses.
And like a white stallion with no saddle and just like grabbing its mane and like
through like a field of daisies.
Absolutely.
With some pencil chest hairs because I don't have chest hairs. But like it would be there.
And then I can just see Holly just sitting on the porch waiting for you, reading a book.
And a polka dot.
Yeah,
that's what this beer does.
like a stone house.
And that's the beauty of this
with
beer.
With like a little stone fence around. And there's got to be geese. Like, I don't know why. Whenever
I
picture
fucking geese in there, I'm sorry.
Okay, look up French farm and I'll guarantee there's going to be geese in that picture.
Geese are terrible. Geese are mean.
But like French farmers, it's like the jam for French farmers to be raising geese.
Some geese. I don't know. Yeah.
We're going to. But French Jules, I was going to ask you, what's your favorite style of beer?
Oh, man.
I see goats, cows, and not a fucking geese.
Dude, lick my butthole.
I see a half-naked man.
Oh.
Anyway, favorite style, Jules.
My favorite style. Oh, I mean, that's hard. That's
okay,
like
favorite style to drink
your
and favorite style to brew. How's that? Kind of narrow it down for you.
Well, I mean, that's hard because my really, like, my go-to are sours. Sours hold just like a special place in my heart. I love sours. I think they're fascinating. I think there's so much you can do with them. I think there's such a range, too, that you can go with them that, like, they can be very approachable for those, like, newcomers to craft beer, which, you know, when we talk about Cosmic Fog, I'll get into kind of more of that, too. And then there are, you know, those really sour ones that just, like, hit you in the face. Yeah. Those fruited sours, you know, dry hop sours. And then you get into, like, all the different, you know, do you use lactobacillus? Are you using, you know, what strain are you using to get the sour? What's your method for it? So that's probably my favorite beer to brew are sours. They're just, they're fun, you know?
Do you prefer like a kettle sour or would you like rather go for like an aged kind of sour with like a natural fermentation kind of thing?
As far as brewing, I'm for the kettle sour.
Yeah. Something like quick
Bugs
and easy.
Scare me, yeah. I get a little scared.
They are kind of intimidating. You know? Bugs are
unless I'm in an all sour brewery, unless I'm down, you know, at Rare Barrel or
is that your dream?
King, like that would like honestly, yeah, that's a dream of mine to have my own sour brewery. But you know,
I could help you make Springville a sour brewery if you want.
No.
Just sneak in with like some pediococcus and.
I think between Derek and Rick, I would
be dead or out of a job. One of the two. Yeah.
I'll take
David
the blame.
David help smuggling can, me to
I'll
Mexico.
I'll take the blame.
Yeah, basically.
They can fire me.
God.
The guy who works once every 4 months, they can fire me. It's fine. You can be like, it's Wyatt's fault. He busted in here.
So, Jules, going off the pink peppercorn saison, I have something going off. You did something called the Pink Boot Society.
Yes.
So tell us, for those who don't know, what the hell is Pink Boot Society?
So Pink Boot Society is an all-female brewers club. It is for any female in the brewing industry, so not just brewers. And we just basically are there to support each other and help each other and learn together. They do a ton of different scholarships. They're an awesome organization. And then the Utah chapter, they're amazing women. And yeah, so if you are in brewing, even if you work at a brew pub, look into it because it is.
That's
it's
really
an awesome
cool.
group of women.
And do you all have to wear pink boots all the time?
No.
Do you wear pink boots all the time?
No.
Do you have a pair of pink boots?
I do have a pair of pink boots. I do. I think I have two pairs of pink boots, actually.
That's really cool.
They're a little slick in the brewery. Slick. So
you said that there's a Utah chapter. So talk to us about the Utah chapter. Is it just Utah's one chapter? Is there kind of regions? Is it kind of,
yes.
How does that go about?
So they do go off of regions, but Utah has only one chapter. So when I found out about the Pink Boot Society, there was no chapter here in Utah. The closest one was Denver. So when I signed up, I was a part of the Denver chapter.
That's a bit of a drive.
Yeah. The once a month meetings, you know, it was really a hassle driving there every month.
There's some advantages to going to Denver once a month.
There definitely are. There's awesome beer there.
Right? Absolutely.
So that was the same year I was doing beer festivals for Strap Tank, and I got to meet some amazing women, Lauren and Jackie, Ellie, and I just started talking. I think it was Lauren I was talking to, and I just was like, you know, we don't have a chapter in Utah. Like, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
And so me and my friend Aubrey, who was in the brewing industry, decided to start Utah's chapter. So, you know, we made it happen, started the chapter. I was the president for, I think, like 2 years. I was a terrible president. I was not good at it. So I relinquished my title, and I believe Jamie is the president now, and Jackie is her co-president, or
and
vice versa.
Jamie's the one that works for Roosters? Where's
no,
Jamie?
Jackie works for Roosters.
Jackie's over
Jamie
Roosters.
Actually works now for Five Wives.
Okay, cool.
Vodka, yes. Yeah. She was at Keto's, and then, yeah, she moved over to Five Wives Vodka.
Was it difficult to start a chapter in Utah?
No, actually it wasn't too bad. I think we had to have like 10 or 15 members initially sign up. So that was the biggest thing. Cause I was new to the brewing industry.
I didn't know every female that
was
in the brewing.
I was
gotcha.
Still just washing kegs in the brewery and going to beer festivals. And so, you know, those ladies were really awesome to help me reach out to other people to get, you know, a big enough group so that we could sign up. Yeah. And now I think it's pretty big now. I think I feel like we have like 30-ish members, maybe
really
more.
Cool. Do you guys still meet regularly? Do you guys still keep in contact?
Yes. We have a Facebook group, and we're always group messaging on that. Our meetings lately have been on Zoom. And there hasn't been, I'm not sure our plans, because every International Women's Day we do a collaboration brew. So I don't know quite yet what the plans are for that, especially, you know. Who knows where we're going to be, right? In
yeah, absolutely.
2 months in March, Who knows? But yeah, so.
That's really
excited.
Cool. That's super cool. And then does Lauren do the Crafty Beer Girls? Is that the same Lauren?
Yes, yep. Lauren does Crafty Beer Girls.
I wish they keep up on that. They're kind of slacking on it, but they need to keep up on it because it's really cool.
They're a
nice
awesome.
Blog if you guys get a chance to look at them, Crafty Beer Girls. But Jules, for those females who want to get into brewing or want to do the Crafty Beer Girls, what's the easiest and best, or sorry, excuse me, Pink Boot Society, what's the best way for them to join or get information on that?
So obviously you need a job in a brewery or a brew pub, and then you can just go to the Pink Boot Society website. You can just type it into Google. It'll pop right up. There is a membership fee. I think it's like $30. It's not a lot. And
is that
even
yearly, monthly?
Yearly.
Lifetime.
Yeah. It's yearly. And I do know they do have a ton of programs going on right now, especially, you know, with everything going on and people being out of jobs. They do have support programs going on to help pay for your membership.
That's awesome.
And then, yeah, they'll Jamie and Jackie will get an email. They'll reach out to you. That's super cool.
Yeah. And they're still in the community, which is really rad. Is there ever like a national meeting or a national kind of get together?
Normally. GABF. Gotcha. They'll do a big thing. So.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's super cool. And
you guys do a yearly beer too, don't you?
Yeah.
The collaboration beer, right?
International Women's Day. We'll do a brew.
So do you do a beer per chapter? Is like the national come like, hey, this is our beer. We're going to do everyone brew it.
No, so they send out a hop blend. So as the entire national and international, because it is an international society,
that's cool.
Gets together and votes on a hop blend that we want for every year.
That's super cool.
Every brewery purchases it, and then every chapter normally purchases it. So we'll do like a big collaboration brew, and then like every brewery will, you know, do their own.
That's super cool. So, buying that hop blend, does that contribute in some way to the Pink Boots? So like a certain percentage of it?
Yeah, nice. Go to Pink Boots Society. Really,
I think one of my favorite beers, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
One of my favorite beers that I've ever had was the Pink Lady Boots Society, the year you guys made the Cascadian Dark Ale.
Yes, that was an awesome one.
Changed my
life. Mash the Patriarchy,
that's what it was. Yeah, that was a good one.
That was super good.
Yeah. And that was the first time I'd ever had a Cascadian Dark Ale, which was like a combination of like stout and IPA. It was just an awesome beer.
Yeah.
And that's what you turned me on to Cascadian Dark Ale. I had this one, you had to do it.
The Duba or Dubby or.
Well, didn't we do that one? And then they had one from Fisher that had a Cascadian Dark Ale for a second.
Did they really? Mm-hmm. They did. Yeah.
And then we tried that one and we were like, oh, yeah. It's okay.
It's
all right.
We had the Uinta one too. The Doobie one was super good.
Yeah, I remember you were intense. On the Doobie for a while. Yeah. I remember you bringing it to me and Aubrey.
Yeah, that one was solid.
So, Jules, you have this one that I keep staring at. It's purple. It's glittery.
Yeah.
What in Satan's name is this beer? That can't be a beer. What is it?
It is a beer. Cosmic Fog.
Cosmic Fog. So tell me the story behind Cosmic Fog.
So, Cosmic Fog, the idea came to me after I brewed my very first sour with our first brewer, Mike D. And we did a hibiscus plum sour.
Ooh.
Which we named Julia because my ego knows no bounds.
Oh, and, I cannot wait to name a beer after me one day.
And I kind of was obsessed with sours before that, but that's when I really like was like, brewing sours, man, this is it. This is it for me, you know? So I really got on the bandwagon. I was following all these breweries and a picture popped up on my Instagram of a purple sour. And I was like, what? What is this? I just did a pink sour. Like, I've got to do a purple sour now. And so I looked into it and it is a flower called butterfly pea flower. And it's actually a very fascinating flower. I could go off on that for hours too. It changes color with different pHs.
Yeah.
So it starts out
distillery. They've got a blue gin.
Yeah, that's what David was telling me about. And it starts out blue, and the more acidic you get, it turns purple, and even the more acidic you get, it turns like a pink color.
Ooh.
And then I remember one day just sitting around there and like playing with it, and I kept adding water to turn it back to blue, and then I would add some like lactic acid to try to turn it purple.
So if I recall, it's the only
like a
thing
fun little science experiment.
Yeah.
It's the only thing in nature that can naturally turn purple without, I mean, that's something that's why it's so cool. It's one of those things that kind of gives that, in nature you don't really find true purple things. That's one of the few purple.
There aren't any like frogs in the Amazon rainforest that turn purple?
I have no idea. I don't know
if that would be safe.
That's probably not safe.
I don't want to put frogs in my beer.
But when Wyatt and I were interviewing Holy Stone Distilling, they brought this up and like, we have this cool thing you've never heard of ever before. And they're like, oh, it's the butterfly pea blossom. And Wyatt and I go, yeah, we have a beer called Cosmic Fog.
Like,
we do. And we're like,
we've been drinking it for years.
And they were blown away by it. And so when we finally got the Cosmic Fog, I sent them like, hey, you guys got to try this. And I'm like, okay, and they came down that day and got a growler of it. And they're like, we have to, because it's really cool. But why glitter? Why did you put glitter in it?
So then that's what I got on this kick of like, I wanted to make this purple beer. And again, at this point, I wasn't a brewer at all. I was washing kegs. And so I was talking to our GM at the time about it. And we like just started talking about it. And he was like, oh, what if we like put glitter in it? And I was like, that's it.
Wait, Stu said that?
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
yeah.
That's super rad.
That's Stu's idea. Stu. God, I miss Stu. I know. Stu is such a stud.
Shout out to Stu, you know?
Old Stewie Brown.
Stupac.
Stupac. Yeah,
so boy. That was where it was. That's where it was born is, you know, I was like, I'm doing a purple glitter beer. And so once I got into the brewery, and then our brewer was hired on afterwards, Sean, I told Sean what I wanted to do, and he kind of was, he was like, I don't know, naturally, yeah. That's,
it's different.
You know.
It comes off as very gimmicky.
Yeah, I mean, it's he was like, it's a gimmick, like, no, and took him a couple weeks, and then one day he came in, and he was like, all right, let's do a purple glitter beer.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Yes, we are. Fuck yeah. We're
which
doing
is really
purple
cool.
And
the first one, you guys did it the first time last year. And
no, it was actually
two years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the first one was more lemon, lime, and guava, correct?
It was mango. Guava. Yes, mango guava. And then we dry hopped it with Citra. And then the last year we did a mango passion fruit, I believe, and dry hopped it with Citra again.
What's this year's?
This year I switched it up, getting crazy. I did tangerine and dry hopped it with mandarin and Bavaria.
Ooh.
So it is like a sour mimosa.
It's my favorite nose.
It's really good.
It is very basic, bitch. Sour, you know, mimosa.
I mean, that's like... I think the reason that Sean, at least the reason he told me that he really warmed up to this and the reason he thought it was such a good idea once he really thought about it was a lot of people, just like we were talking about with dark beers, like you put a dark beer in front of someone and they're like, ooh, that's scary. Like a lot of people, when you're like, you want to try a sour beer? They're like, no.
I want to pack I don't want to get acid reflux, all that shit.
Yeah. But like sour beers can be so, so good. And all you have to do is try them. Like come at it with an open mind. And, come at someone with a pink or purple glitter beer, like people see that it sells itself, like
yeah,
so it really does.
People see that and they're like, okay, whatever that is, I need to try it. And like, man, like I especially like the ladies who would come in, they're like, oh, purple glitter beer, I want it so much. I'm like, yeah, you do, because it's really fucking good, but also it's purple and glittery, so that's cool too. And so like I would sell a ton of it, and then people would be like, this is actually really good. I'm like, yeah, it's not just gimmicky, it is really good.
Yeah, so that
sometimes
was my,
guys would try it.
That was my whole idea behind Cosmic Fog, what really started driving me towards it. Because I was bartending at the time. And being in Utah County, we do get a lot of people who are very...
Michelob Ultra people?
Yeah, and very nervous about trying craft beer in general. They don't
want... trying anything in general.
Yeah, they don't. They have their thing they like. They want to stick to their thing they like, you know? And even if they do venture out, it is only a little step, you know? We've got our... people who love Flathead and High Side, our lightest beers we have on tap, our easiest drinking beers we have on tap. And I really wanted something that kind of intrigued people, because I do think people drink with their eyes first, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
You see a beer and it's appealing to your eyes, you want to drink it. And so I do get a lot of shit for the beer. There are quite a few brewers that are like, oh, it's a gimmick. And even, you know, people in the beer community who aren't brewers, but, you know, avid craft beer drinkers are like, oh, it's a gimmick. And
gimmick beer, yeah.
You know,
have they tried it,
I read
it,
all the comments online about it.
They haven't
tried it.
They see a picture of it, like Julia says, with their eyes, and then they comment on the site.
Yeah.
Not actually tasting
I think
it.
There's a comment, actually, like on one of our reviews that says something like, oh, looks like something Taylor Swift would drink, like ironically or something like that. And I'm like, you know, but that was my point, you know.
How cool would it be if Taylor
I wanted
Swift
to make
drank
a,
this beer?
Yeah, fuck you.
I wanted to make
Swift.
A gimmick beer that was actually a solid beer.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't have, you know, fucking candy in this, Sour Patch Kids in this. It actually is a solid sour. It's
a really good sour. Know,
it's not mango pickle and blueberry mango bullshit.
My buffalo wings.
Yeah, buffalo wings.
You know what's funny is I'll bet the same people who are like, looks like a gimmick beer, are the same people who are like, I want buffalo wing flavored beer or whatever
marshmallow s'more.
You know, the hazy boys.
God. Haze is a gimmick.
Hazies are gimmicks. Come on now.
100%.
For the longest time, I couldn't figure out how, like, I struggled with making my hazies hazy.
Yeah.
So they would have the same exact taste. They just wouldn't look hazy.
And it's become like a taste profile.
And people would not drink them. They'd be like,
this
oh, no,
hazy.
It's not hazy. It's not juicy. It's not hazy.
When did it become a taste profile?
I made the same. So Derek made a version of our Ape Hanger before we could figure out like how to create that haze stability. And it did not sell. We had it forever. Nobody wanted it. Nobody would drink it. We figured out our haze stability, you know, worked around with malts and different hops and like how we were dry hopping and stuff. We figured out how to create that haze stability. A year later, I brew the same beer he brewed, exact same. It was our fastest selling ape hanger.
It but sold it was out, hazy.
But it was hazy.
Oh my God.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
That fat really needs to go away fast. You
know? And those don't get are the wrong, same I people. Like, I'll like a hazy every once in a while. Yeah. I'll enjoy them, but it's just this like thing people have in their heads. Yeah. And that's what's so great about Cosmic Fog too, is I'm like, okay, yeah, it's the same thing as hazy. My beer is a solid beer, but it just looks, it's purple and glittery. It looks what's like the a, difference like, between
it doesn't
your
change
being
the flavor
hazy
at all.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
But me, it's really cool.
It's cool. It's a bummer that those people who are like, you know, craft beer aficionados who are like, oh, it's such a gimmick, and they won't try
take
it.
Take the stick out of your
but
ass.
But like, yeah, for real, like pull your thumb out of your ass.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, definitely as craft beer drinkers and brewers, yeah, I think we can get very judgy sometimes.
Absolutely.
And, you know, my whole point was I wanted people to get excited about craft beer. I wanted them to try something new
and
that
they
weren't.
This is cool, Jules. It really is.
Yeah. I like that it's a cool beer for people who aren't necessarily beer aficionados. Like, it's the people who are kind of new to craft beer that are,
yeah,
I think
they're
really
like, oh, that's cool. I want to try that.
Yeah, and then
that's
they're like,
awesome,
this is really good. And maybe they'll go and try other sours that aren't purple and hazy or
purple
and sparkly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's cool. It's a good, it's a really, really awesome way to get someone to take a step in, I think, a good direction.
What cracks me up is, people kind of can diss on it, or other breweries can kind of like, oh, that's gimmicky, that's shame on you, whatever. But last year, one of the biggest breweries in Utah, Uinta, comes out with the exact,
came out with purple hazy beer.
It's
huh?
called, so it's called purple, the Glitter Blueberry.
Glitter. Yeah.
And it was the exact looking beer, glitter, purple, everything. But didn't get as great reviews as your beer did, Julia. But I think it was pretty funny. It's like, it's kind of like homage to like, I guess it's getting kind of, even any bad publicity is still publicity. Like you're still getting it.
Yeah.
And
no, definitely,
whether they tasted it or not. And if a big brewery in Utah can be like, okay, we got to do something about it. You know, it's like the seltzer thing. I guess we got to make a seltzer now.
Guess we got to make a seltzer. But
that's the only other time I've seen someone like, all right, we got to do it too.
Yeah.
So, Julia, that's a big compliment.
Ah, thank you.
You know what would be cool would be the Cosmic Frog. I was thinking about it after we were making, after we were talking about
the
frogs.
The purple frog,
A Cosmic Frog, and it could be green and hazy.
Green and sparkly?
Green sparkly. The
I
Cosmic
figure
Frog.
Out what's going to make it green?
I mean, we're going to figure something out. But the thing, the good thing about the butterfly pea is it's not just food coloring. It's
seaweed.
It's an actual
seaweed, super healthy. Just saying,
it's the actual ingredient that makes it purple.
Yeah,
that's really cool part.
No,
about
it is very much like I said, like the hibiscus. You know, hibiscus can add some flavor, whereas butterfly pea flower doesn't really add any sort of flavor. But it still is a natural way to color.
Yeah, so I mean, you can make any beer red or purple or blue or green or orange, but this one's, it's natural. And that's really cool.
It's natural. It's not anything, you know.
Yeah. So. The Julia wasn't super pink though, right? Like it was pink for a little bit, but then it kind of died off. Like
It started out super like pinkish purpley because we did have quite a lot of plum in it. And then it turned more of like a pink color, more of like that bright pink color.
That was one that had the plum puree.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yes,
I was thinking of the wrong beer.
Yeah.
So Jules, I'm going to go with future brewing goals. As a brewer, what's some future goals you have in mind? What do you as a brewer want to accomplish or have set you want to do?
That's a good question. My word, I feel so on the spot right now.
Boom. Drink a beer. Shots.
Come on, beer. Beer is my answer. Like I said before, like really getting people to venture out into craft beer is one of my main goals, because I think, you know, there's so much to explore in beer. As being a bartender, one of my favorite things was when someone came in and I was like, what do you want to drink? I don't really like beer. I'm not
the
a beer
sampler.
Drinker.
Yeah. That's what I call them, the sampler.
Like, perfect. Like, they were my favorite customers.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, with Gio, when I very first started dating Gio, that's what he was like, oh, I'm not a beer drinker. I don't like beer.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
Holly,
like, bet.
Everyone says
yes,
it.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I will find a beer you like.
Yeah.
And that's really
and
cool.
You find a beer you like, then it's like all of a sudden they're like, okay, now you like beer.
Now
so
now you like beer.
And now
you
like all beer.
It's because everyone loves to win arguments. Like no one wants to lose an argument. So that time you can prove someone you don't like beer, fuck you. And then like the aha moment, you're like, And you, without saying, you just kind of brush your shoulder, like,
yeah,
motherfucker.
You're like, oh, yeah, yeah.
I win. Yeah. So then that, my segue to this question is, what kind of things do you want to say to people who, the most common question I get is, I don't like beer. Beer sucks. I don't like the taste of beer. Beer. What would you say to people who are like that, who kind of want to figure out craft beer? Like, what's kind of advice you would say to those individuals?
So my advice is, beer is such a diverse, and there's so many varieties of beer and different ways to go about beer, that really it is hard for someone to, like, you can't just say, I don't like beer, because that's not, you know, there's just so much to it that that can't be a true statement. You don't like, yeah, a certain style of beer. You don't like
the beer
Budweiser. You don't like those macro light lagers, which are mostly what people are trying and saying they don't like, you know, there's something for everyone in beer. I really truly believe that, like, there is so much to it, because there are even, like, IPAs, take for example, I'm not a massive fan of IPAs. I don't like, I'm not a hophead, but there are those times where I do crave an IPA. And it is a certain type of IPA,
yeah,
because I've had, you know, a IPA that has been really, really well made. And yeah, I crave it. So even like with that, like, I can't even say like I hate IPAs, because, you know, so you, yeah, can't really generally say like you just hate beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that generalizing thing. It,
yeah,
doesn't,
yeah,
work.
It doesn't
keep
work.
Keep it open mind.
And then I would suggest, you know, you start doing tasters of things. You start sampling things. You start asking questions, going to places where people really know their beer, where your people who are serving you really know their beer. And just telling them, you know, like, hey, I don't like hoppy beers. I don't like bitter beers. I don't like dark beers. I don't like maltier beers, you know. Just try things out and see what you like. Like I said, sours, I feel like, are always a pretty good way to get in. Unless you're one of those people that just hates sour things, which baffles me. I'm always like, what? I live on sour things.
Yeah.
Sour and spicy. That's right. All I live on. But sours are very easy to drink, you know, especially if you get those ones that aren't like super bold and make your jaw clench. And
yeah.
Those easier ones, they are more cidery like, they are more wine like. Saisons, again, if you like wines, saisons are an awesome intro.
It's a good beer to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are awesome to get into. So yeah, just keep trying beers.
I love that. Keep it open mind.
Yeah. Come down to Shop Tank. I will find you a beer that you will like.
Would you rather be, as far as brewing goes, would you rather be, and this is more along with like your future goals kind of stuff, a like jack of all trades kind of brewer, like you can brew, you know, whatever well, or you brew often like at a restaurant or a brew pub that'll have, you know, a variety of beers, or would you rather go in the direction of like just sours?
I personally would rather go in one direction. I do like brewing all sorts of beers. Don't get me wrong. I have fun with brewing a lot of different beers. The thing with brewing is, there again is so much to brewing. There's so much knowledge.
Yeah.
Not one person can know it all. You know, one of my like pivotal moments in my brewing career was when I was getting trained by Dan Burick, who is an amazing brewer. He worked for Wasatch when they, you know, first started brewing. He trained Jenny Talley. He just really, in my mind, is my idol. And he said, I've been doing this 20 plus years, and I don't know everything. Like, there's just too much to know. Yeah. There really is so much, because, you know, you get into different, even just in the different categories of your ingredients, which are just four ingredients, your water, yeah, your yeast, your malt, and your hops. Each category has a world of knowledge inside that. Like, it's insane. And so to me, it's easier for me to really just concentrate on one style and focus on that and really perfect it. I am a perfectionist when it comes, especially to my beers. You know, I can say, yeah, they're a solid beer, and I'm good with selling it to people and providing it to people because it is a good solid beer. But yeah, when I drink it, I'm like, oh, yeah, should have done this, should have done that, could have been better. Right.
But that's the brewer in you. That's getting better. That's always your beer. It may be good, but you can always find something you can make it better the next time.
Yeah.
And that's
what
I appreciate about you, Julia, because you're really good at kind of pushing yourself, and you show it through your beers. I guarantee you, when you your beers 2 years ago from now, guarantee way better. Way better.
Because
you're getting better. You're stretching the bounds, you know, whether you're putting glitter in beers or not, but you're doing things where you're making it better, and you're doing that because you're always learning. You're not just like, I'm going to follow a recipe, twiddle my thumbs, you know, sit on my ass and do nothing. You're like, okay, how can I make this better? What can I do to kind of push it? What can I do to make this one just kind of pop a little more? You know, this one was missing this, whatever. And that's what I like about you, because you're not just sitting back and just being like, I'm a female brewer, fuck it.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
You're growing.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
It seems like there's a fair amount of people, and, you know, not necessarily just in the brewing world, but like in life in general, it seems like there's a fair amount of people who...
Like Coast.
They coast. Yeah. They start off at something and maybe they're really good at it to begin with, like better than the average beginner. But then like, if you never like really criticize yourself and really like look at yourself in the mirror, you know, kind of take a good look at what's going on and say, where can I be better? Like you don't get any better. And so like you can start off as like, maybe you're better than the average beginner, but if you don't ever look at yourself, then you're not going to get better. And the person who might start off shittier than you 2 years down the road, they could be miles ahead because they're like, I started off bad and this is what I need to do to get better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that constant growth is huge. Like you're always moving in, you know, one of two directions. You're either getting better or you're getting worse.
And definitely. And with brewing, there's so much unknown, and the trends change, and, you know, there's always new information coming in. So not only is there this universe of knowledge with beer, but it's continually feeding more into it. And so,
you know, it's always in style. Milds and bitters, same.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, another one that's in style, it's a good segue, is a stout. And how many stouts have you probably brewed, Julia?
Oh, well, this is only, well... homebrewing not included, professionally for Strap Tank. This is my third stout I've brewed. I brew our Sergeant Holtz, which we always have on tap.
Right.
And then last year, I think, was like,
last winter. I remember it was one of my favorite beers I've ever had.
I feel like it's been like 12 years. I did the Oatmeal Stout, Kativo.
Oh my God.
That was one of my favorite beers ever.
Things that make me wet, that.
Yeah.
For real, though.
Every
bring that back, Julie. God damn it.
Yeah.
You just brew it for me. Fuck.
Every Sunday, like, you could catch me at brunch in Springville putting back the Kativo.
So, but you did something different. It was still good. But you did some. This is what the last one you have is your peanut butter milk stout.
Yes, yeah.
So tell me the idea. What brought this upon? Why did you brew this one?
So milk stouts in general just interest me. Again, it is a more British style, but it's just fascinating. Like, using lactose in a beer is interesting.
The right amount of lactose in a beer.
Yes, the right. Not too much. It's never good for anyone.
No, never.
Hard and fast?
Yeah.
Hard and fast.
Hard and fast. And, milk stouts are just, like, so interesting to me because, like we said, stouts can be very bold. They can be very aggressive.
Like, roasty and, like, offensive almost sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And,
thank you.
You know, not a lot of people like it. I don't mind it. I can't drink a full pint of some stouts because they are just a mill, you know?
Whoa. Yeah.
And so milk stouts are fascinating. They're fun because they are a little more sweet. They are a little bit more playful. Like, they're not quite so
robust.
And, you know, that
they're more gentle
black coffee taste to it. It is a little bit more gentle.
It's like having that black coffee, and you're like, oh, I can't drink anything, or I can't taste anything. Like everything just tastes like coffee to me. This one's a little easier.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier.
It's like a cold brew coffee.
Yeah.
And so, and then peanut butter milk stouts, you know, they're popping up everywhere, and I thought it would be a fun idea to play with it. Why not, you know? So, yeah, I feel like I didn't use enough peanut butter in it. It is very mild on the peanut butter. But again, I've never brewed with peanut butter before, so I didn't really know. I used just what, you know, is recommended. And, you know, I talked to Derek and a few other people about what, you know, they would recommend to use. I used the recommended, and it still just didn't quite come through as much as I wanted to.
Yeah.
It's awesome on the nose, though. And again, during fermentation, it was very prominent on the nose. And I was like, yes, fuck yes, I've done it. And then, you know, I transfer it over and I'm all, God damn it, it's gone.
No, but that's the thing about this right here, this beer specifically. And I'm glad we're ending on this beer is because you right there, I haven't tasted it yet tonight. And you're like, it can be better. But you're wanting to be better. It's like, yeah, this beer sucks. It didn't have what I wanted it. Like, you're like, no, this could have been better. Like, I need to adjust here and here. That's you being a good brewer, Julia. And I respect that about you. And it's really cool. And number two, when you told me about this idea, I geeked the fuck out. I'm like, yes, do it. Let's do it. Like, oh my God, yes. And so I'm glad you did this one because I was really heartbroken when you pulled Kativo and you're like, it's gone. I'm not going to do it again. I was kind of butthurt.
Not going to do it again?
Well, this time, like this round was PB Ryder, right?
This round was PB Ryder.
You can't just do Kativo.
PB Ryder's pretty good. I'm impressed.
But I was really tickled. And Julia, I took a couple of growlers home in the past couple of months. So.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it.
I like it.
It's like a peanut butter coffee milkshake.
What do you think? Yeah, you like it, right?
I like it a lot. It's like cold brew coffee, and there's like definitely that like kind of creaminess to it that's really nice. And then the peanut butter comes through like in those, you ever had like those peanut butter like cookies? You know what I'm talking about? That's like.
Biscoff cookies?
No.
Peanut
butter? Oh, the ones with like the like little lines like, on top?
Yeah.
The little like square lines?
It's like.
Nutter butters?
Yeah, Nutter butters.
Yeah, well,
that's exactly it. It's like a Nutter butter.
See,
it's like for me, coffee, it's chocolate, and a Nutter butter.
See, for me, it's the like a stout, and then you get a Butterfinger, and you start dipping it.
Just dip the
Butterfinger. Or Butterfinger, yeah.
It's
like
a
Butterfinger, too.
Yeah, definitely.
And so if you guys like Butterfinger and or stouts, PB Ryder, Springville location only. It's not in Lehigh location, only Springville.
Are Butterfingers chocolate coated?
Yes.
Yeah,
this is a Butterfinger. This is Butterfinger beer.
Butterfinger.
That's what I think, Butterfinger.
Oh, my God. Nailed it right on the head. This is it's like more heavy on the chocolate, less heavy on the Butterfinger, but like nailed it. It's delicious.
But see, Jules, I'm a huge peanut butter fan. Like, I love peanut butter, but I think your peanut butter, I see where you're going with. You want a little more peanut butter, but I enjoy this.
Yeah,
I can have another glass.
It's noticeable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, again, it's not super bold, which I don't normally like doing things that are like, in your face, bold, over the top, which is funny because a lot of the times when I'm brewing, I think we had this conversation, I'm always like, more, put more in, more.
One scoop's
like,
good,
there's just
two
this
scoops
part
is better.
Of me that's like, more.
Yeah, it's like, this can't be over the top, mate.
I can imagine Jules in like a brew house with like lightning in the background, like,
I'm the witch, you know.
More,
I did have
more.
Someone comment on that.
It's alive.
I think it was the guy that was cleaning our lines. I was brewing. I was mashing in, and he walked in.
Oh,
he was
God.
Like,
that's funny.
Yeah, he was like, you look like a witch up there. I was like, yes,
you're
I
like,
am.
I like that a lot.
But yeah, you do kind of get this like, I don't know, this little like voice in me that's always like, more, add more stuff, more.
Yeah.
And
it's
I have had
voice.
It backfire on me a couple times where I'm like, oh.
But it's a learning experience, right? Like then that's sometimes if you're going to fail, you got to fail kind of hard because then you learn from it. You
yeah,
really
no,
do
definitely.
It, you guys,
no, definitely.
And I know you can be, you know, you take it as like a personal attack, but at the same time, it's like you take it as a growing experience.
Yeah.
And
no,
that's
definitely.
Why it's like learning under you and Derek has been such an honor because I'm like, oh, look, there's two different styles of brewers. And you're like, oh, shit. These two have like a lot of knowledge, and you're still pretty, if you will, new to the game,
no,
right?
I
you don't have 20
very,
years of experience,
oh,
but
yeah,
like
no.
You still know your shit, and you still have that passion. It's still there,
yeah.
And I'm attracted to passionate people, and so I'm glad that I get to work with you because it's really cool, and I look forward to like what we can do in the future.
No, definitely.
But this one's super cool. What I want to ask is, what is your favorite beer you have ever made at Strap Tank?
Wow, that's a big question. That is a big, big question. My favorite beer I've ever made at Strap Tank.
Excuse me. Got the hiccups now.
It's hard. It's like you asking me which one's my favorite child. I have no.
Who's your favorite sibling?
Life, right?
Jules, what one's what of your cats is your favorite cat?
Oh no,
that's those a bad. Are that's my deep question.
No.
By the
no,
way, Julia has cats.
I do.
Sphinx cats.
And I have them tattooed on my neck because I
They're pretty cool.
I'm a crazy cat lady. I keep trying to convince everyone that we need a brewery cat.
Oh yeah.
You know? Well, doesn't Salt Fire have one?
Yeah,
Salt Music Advice or whatever
and
it is?
And that was my idea way before they got one, but it's fine. I'll let them have it. I'll let them have it.
People are like drinking Salt Flask beer. Like, where did this hair come from?
Right? That's why you got to have naked cats in the brewery.
The good thing about Julia's cats is they're naked.
They're naked. Cats. They got no hair.
They look like a little lovable ball sack.
They do. That's why I got them. All know that's why I got them.
Julia loves your ball sack.
Such a fan of lovable ball sacks. Yeah. She's cuddly, soft ball sacks.
Yeah, every night, I just cuddle each on the side of my face.
I like that. I actually envisioned that. Like, oh, that's not bad.
I imagine Jules.
Like, yeah, that's pretty right sense for Julia. Like,
makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Jules with her cats, like.
I like it.
Gio's off. We've got a separate bed for Gio. He sleeps in the bed next.
He's got like a little pad on the floor.
Yeah. Me and the cats on the bed.
You guys. Oh. You can't think of one though.
Oh man. That's hard.
Can you name
There's
a couple
been
then?
So many.
Just some that you were just really
cosmic
proud of.
Cosmic Frog, obviously. Is one. Cosmic is one of my, you know, Cosmic is my golden child. Yeah. You know.
Kind of special.
A sour I did not too long ago, Kismet.
That was
really,
good.
I really.
That one was underappreciated.
That one was Kismet.
And that one turned out, you know.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I think that's an underused word is Kismet.
Right?
Yeah. It should be used more.
It should be.
Yeah.
It's a great word.
I'm going to start busting that one out.
But yeah, that one turned out, you know, pretty much exactly how I wanted it to come out. And I was really happy with that one.
I like that. That makes me like happy. Like you make a beer, you have an idea, and like it comes out the way you want it to. The first try. Fuck yeah.
Nailed it.
That's really cool.
I think Bonkers. Bonkers was one of my.
Bonkers was good.
Yeah. That was
that one was Bonkers.
That was one of my very
and the rocker.
First.
I love your rocker. I geeked about that one.
Thank you. Yeah, we just sold out of it. I was sad it was gone. I thought about brewing another brown ale, but
Red Devil. It was one of your
Red Devil.
People kicked ass on that one.
Yeah, that one was another one that's up there.
There's just too many. You're just too good, Jules. That's what it is.
What about the Ghoulia? What do you think about the Ghoulia?
I get asked about the Ghoulia.
Yeah, so Ghoulia didn't... It was good.
It was happy.
It was good. There were things I wish had been better about it, and I am happy with that one. It was like... So we did it around Halloween, and it was my precursor to Ghoulia, you know. <It's funny>. I'm hilarious. Yeah. I had to name another beer after myself.
Two years.
I was like, wait a second, I'm Julia feeling Ghoulia. Down about myself. I better name a beer after myself again.
That's the easiest way to, like.
I know.
It's pretty cool, actually.
I know.
Brighten
next time, next beer comes out, and... this one's going to be Jules. This is the Jules. Derek probably will stop that in its tracks.
Yeah. What about like Julio? Is that another one?
Julia. You know? But no, Ghoulia was awesome. It was a darker sour.
That one was cool.
Yeah.
It's
not
a style you usually see. I like that.
No, yeah, definitely. I wanted to give it more malt character, which, you know, it would be fun to play around with those types more often. Give it, you know, we did it a little bit with Spark Plug. Tried to give it a little bit more malt character. It's harder because you don't want to get it too sour with those ones because it just wipes it out. Right. So, but yeah, Ghoulia was a fun one. I had a lot of fun doing that one. And yeah.
That's good. Well, Jules, before we let you go, we have some news and other stuff. So I have some big news that's going to affect you and I specifically.
Oh, God.
This came out today.
Oh, don't. My anxiety is already
it's not
through the
bad,
roof.
But it's not good. Okay? The GABF for 2021 will not be back. Craft Brewers Conference could not have a public place. So the GABF is not going to be held this year. Again, it's going to be that stupid, like, send in your beer and then, like, figure it out online. And the other thing that kind of... baffles me is the Brewers Association, like the Brewers Guild, everyone getting together at the conference, also canceled.
Oh.
Yeah. So those two big things that we were all looking for. So CBC and the GABF are not necessarily canceled, but they're not going to be public this year.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a, you know, 2021 is kind of, it's kind of hurt from 2020. It's like,
starting off on the wrong foot.
It's not ready to open its heart back up to us. It's kinda, like, I don't know if we can trust you again.
Yeah, you stomped on it. You know, absolutely. Yeah. But that's what I had for the news and other stuff. Oh, that was kind of
a bummer.
You
know, way to keep it lighthearted.
I know. But
no, but good news is, we'll be sending beers in, you know, if there is, you know.
We'll give you more time at home, Julia, to focus on great beers.
I have a prediction for you. You're going to get a medal this year.
Oh, God.
I'm going to push your ass.
I'll make you one out of a yogurt lid.
Thank you.
But Jules, last question I have for you is, us as the Tastemasters, what can you see us do to make people like you more appreciated? As the Tastemasters, what can we do to help you guys be appreciated? You as a brewer, you as a female brewer, you as Julia. What can you see us do to help?
You as a Julia.
Me as a Julia. Well, yeah. I mean, first
not,
off,
not a beer,
as
like a human Julia.
Female brewer. I feel like you guys should get more female brewers on here
help
since
us with
I'm
that.
Like your Connect own us. First one. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. I'm going to make calls tonight.
Let's do the Pink Boot Society episode. I like that. That's a good idea.
Hell yeah. Cool. Yeah. We get Jamie and Jackie around.
I would love
and
that.
Yeah. So cool. Lauren is an amazing, you know, she's amazing, amazing
so send
brewer.
Some text for us.
And yeah. Yeah, we'll get really you some, cool. Female brewers on here. I think that would be awesome. Otherwise, you guys are killing it. Like, you know, getting the word out on craft beer and trying beer. Again, making it more approachable, which is what I'm all about. You know, we want people to, you know, join our folds for my secret army.
Absolutely.
You know?
And we have stickers. We have stickers now.
Undercover Jules. So, we should make you stickers. Undercover Jules Army or something.
I like that. But we have stickers. Jules, you're going to leave with our stickers today.
You're the first guest we're giving stickers to, so I'm super excited
about that.
I'm going to slap that in the brewery somewhere.
Please do. Well, Jules, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come hang out with us.
Of course, anytime.
Sharing your knowledge. Please continue that passion. Don't let that die. That's the one thing I can give like advice to you is like, don't let that passion die because you do have an eye for making beer and you do have that passion that is reasonable. Like, I love that. I love seeing it. I love seeing what you're capable of. I love your funky, weird like concoctions that you think about. And like, And don't be afraid to kind of test those waters. Like, I think you're really good at that.
Thank you.
Like, you're always getting better. And yeah, I'm glad we're friends. And I'm glad we work together.
Yeah, me too. Excited for the future.
Absolutely.
For Derek to let you out of his grasps every once in a while.
Just kidding, Derek.
Yeah.
Custody issue.
Derek, I'll see you in court. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Don't fire me.
I have two things. Three things, really. But two important ones. Jules, one, I love your beer. Two, I love your hair. It's super blonde.
It's blonde. I'm blonde now.
I'm super impressed.
It's weird.
How long did it take you to get your hair blonde? Like three, four years?
It didn't go blonde until, I want to say it was last year it went blonde. Last year?
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 2019. I'm like, God, this 2021 thing is throwing me off. Yeah, so it was January 2019. Yeah. My hair finally went blonde. I love that this is turning into a hair show. Sorry.
Really turned into Khaleesi.
For those of you who don't know, my hair was jet black before. I have naturally dark hair, but I dyed it black for many, many years.
Oh, I didn't know you dyed it.
Yeah, I dyed my roots. And it took us a long, long time. It took about 4 years for it to become blonde. And I did a lot of colors in between. And
Yeah. Looks good. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
But Jules, again, thank you so much for coming. And hopefully we can bring you back on soon.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Anytime.
All right. Until the next beverage, bros and girls.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter @TheTastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded @Fuse Audio. Give them a follow @Fuse_Audio.